And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure, and especially for the Ninja Consultant podcast, the R5 Central Fanboy Chorus is pleased to present Ode to Gunbuster.
Oh, Gunbuster, biggest fucking mech I've seen. Oh, Gunbuster, you could even take on Taekwon Lee.
Hopefully this illustrates just why this thing is so neat.
With girls in high school gym suits kicking ass in awesome battle scenes. Lest we not forget the guy next bounce putting guns in a state of bliss.
So your next mega series really needs to be this.
Oh, Gunbuster, you rock it hardcore. Oh, Gunbuster, you beat any on three times out of four. Oh, Gunbuster, the best thing from Gunniness. Yes, true,
even alien,
because Shinji is a whiny bitch.
So true.
This has been brought to you by R5 Central, podcasting at its finest, at r5central.blogspot.com. Until then, have a good evening.
Ninja positions! Hello, Craig.
Alright, this is from Erwin, who writes, new listener and my advice about giant robot shows.
Oh, I was going to say, on our other episode where we had a bunch of people wrote in and they told us what giant robot shows to watch. And I was going to tally up the survey results, but I think in general people said, number one, Gunbuster. Dudes,
yeah, we've seen
Gunbuster. We love Gunbuster, whatever.
Yeah, we understand.
We're looking forward to the next DVD release of Gunbuster. The second thing that people mostly said was Votoms, which we have not seen.
Well, I've seen some of it.
Oh, okay.
In Japanese.
And
That's a good thing.
And other people suggested Space Runaway Ideon, which is what this letter is about.
Is it? False.
Okay.
So I'm a new listener, and after listening to your last show, I must say, awesome. Well, as for what giant robo you guys should watch Giant Robo.
Oh, yeah. I said in the show, I just bought all of Giant Robo, and we're watching it.
Yeah.
We'd already seen the first disc, and I was waiting to rent the second disc.
We're nearly done now, I think.
Oh, no. We're only on, like, disc two of three or four.
Really?
Yeah. So we're on the last episode of the second disc.
Oh, okay.
So we are watching Giant Robo. Oh, the other thing that people suggested was Mobile Gundam MS Team, which is like the Gundam Vietnam one, which we haven't seen. And I've heard and I've read in various places that it's a really good one, because it's not very Gundam-like, and the machines are like real tanks. I've heard from everyone that's like a good Gundam to watch. Other people suggested Gundam 086 War in the Pocket, and I've seen that on Cartoon Network, and I thought it was pretty good. It's just a small OVA series. And the next suggested thing was the first two Gundam movies, and I have seen most of both of them, but they're really hard to watch because Noah kept saying, why are we watching this? Can we shut it off
now? Why were we watching it?
I don't know. I think you fell asleep, and after a while I fell asleep, and then I woke back up and the second one came on. I think I was doing something else at the same time. Like,
we're doing laundry.
Getting ready to go somewhere.
We're doing laundry.
Whatever.
I was sleeping in the laundry, and you said, get off of the laundry, and I said, no.
And you're like, can we stop watching this now? And I'm like, who cares? You're asleep.
Right. Anyway. You've already missed so much of it, you said.
It seemed all right. Maybe I'll revisit that since I still have... I still have Rick's VHS tapes of those. Out of most of the giant robot things people suggested, I'd seen, like, half of them. Like, it really made me realize how many giant robot things I've seen. One person suggested that Noah watch Eva. That was amazing.
Right. I don't think that's necessarily what that person was implying.
They were implying that you were a new...
Yes, yes, we've seen Eva.
And Ichigo suggests I watch Razavan, which I couldn't really watch because it reminded me too much of Eva.
I don't like Razavan, the five or six episodes that we watched.
The first few episodes were pretty unbearably Eva-like. And the thing is, though, it makes it worse than if it was just a ripoff, because the original elements of Razavan that are not like Eva are really good. Why couldn't they make a show just of that?
What, lock-proceeding robots?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the dome where time moves differently, and they don't really know they're being occupied and all this stuff. That's all really good, and it should be its own show, apart from now the Misato ripoff character is talking to the Shinji ripoff character. And yeah. In my mind, I think there's a penguin in Razavan. I don't think there is.
Later, looks like a clone.
Later, when I watch like much later episodes on the anime network, like, oh, look, Razavan episode 28 is on. I missed the previous 13 episodes, but whatever. It's free. It's anime network. I'll watch it. And then it was like a completely different show. Like, I don't even know what characters they were talking about. It was a bunch of crazy crap. Like, so I'm sure Razavan goes in a much different direction. And if you didn't watch Eva first, I'm sure you could really enjoy Razavan. But you have to watch Eva.
Well, I do approve of opera singing robots before I will approve of surfing robots.
Oh, in Eureka 7?
Yeah.
Everyone says that's really good.
It's got surfing robots in it. Come on.
That was the next most suggested thing.
Eureka 7.
Yes.
I don't see it happening.
Apparently, if you can get past the surfing robots, it's good.
Uh-huh.
Everyone says so.
I'm in the middle of email here.
Do it.
Erwin says, G Gundam is a really awesome anime.
Only him and Daryl Surrett. Only bad people think that.
I don't know about that. Well, the first 40 episodes... the first 40 episodes are... I was like, I do not like the character design yet. And I was hoping Edit would get better. And it got better. Okay. The last episodes are great. Yeah, and I have the answer of how do they know the people that never come back after the battle? They pass roll to know who came back from the battle. Anyhow...
Oh, you said you didn't know who lived and who died.
Oh.
in every Gundam.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Still means that I have to learn everyone's name.
Yeah, I'm really bad with names, so I often have that problem too.
Anyhow, great show, guys. Kind of short, though. Paul from Hawaii says he has two suggestions for Zeoman G. Why haven't you seen that? He suggests KOR and Giant Robo.
Giant Robo's fine, but...
Giant Robo's getting a lot of play. I don't think that we need to suggest it, seeing as how everyone suggested that we watch it.
Right. I'm not going to suggest KOR for why haven't you seen that yet. I mean, KOR stands for Kimigori Orange Road, which is a very old-school anime. It's not really old-school. It's old-school.
It's very
80s. Actually, it's more like 1990.
According to Daryl Surratt, Madoka is the worst host beast of all time.
She's my ideal woman.
Madoka is your ideeal woman?
It doesn't really matter if Madoka is great or not. Because compared to Hikaru in that show, Madoka is the ideal woman. Because Hikaru is so annoying through the whole... show, and she doesn't stop being annoying until the movie.
Although I do appreciate that Hikaru is neither violent nor unpredictable.
Right.
Whereas Madoka is violent, unpredictable. Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of cheesiness. I don't know. If you like romance shows, you want to check it out. It's got a love triangle that does not resolve even on the last episode of the anime series, and it's really annoying because that's what keeps you going. You're like, this love triangle, it's gotta work itself out. It's gonna happen. They're really gonna come to a conclusion.
Well,
it's really gonna, he's gonna break up with the girl and go out with the other girl. It's gonna happen. It doesn't happen in the TV series. It happens in the movie. So if you want to watch KOR because it will earn you street cred with people over 25, what you do is you start watching the TV series, and when you can't stand it anymore, watch the movie.
Go directly to the
Just
movie.
Just skip straight to the movie, and you won't have missed anything except for some crazy episodes towards the end where they have the dream episode, like the "What If I'd Never Been Born" episode, an episode that parodies Top Gun for some reason. Actually, there are a few episodes toward the end that are really good. I'd say watch every third episode.
Yeah, something like that.
Something.
So, KOR, we're not really doing much service to it.
Oh, Paul said I had no heart because I wasn't going to suggest it or something. He said I had no soul.
Yeah,
I watched more of it than Noah, so there.
What are you talking about? That's not true.
When I started describing episodes at the end of the series, you hadn't seen them. And I wasn't talking about...
I wasn't talking about OVAs. Look,
you
KOR, they all kind of run into death.
You would remember the fake death episode if you saw it.
I don't remember that.
But KOR, KOR really does play through every possible thing where he kissed the other girl, but it didn't count because of blank. Mind control, hypnosis,
that's the part that you've left out thus far, is that it's a love triangle plus crazy psychic powers.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's because
it's kind of important.
And the psychic powers aren't even in the movie.
They're not in the movie because who cares? The movie is there, clearly.
And there are other movies after that, but the first movie is so satisfying, I felt no need to watch any more.
By satisfying, you mean soul-crushing and difficult to watch?
Oh, no. I think the trouble is, like, the show up to that point had been a wacky comedy. And the first movie... it's a very depressing, realistic love story.
Yeah.
And even though it's depressing...
or hate story, as the case may be.
No, she goes through the stages of a breakup.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very painful to watch.
Yeah,
but
it is.
It rings true to life. At every stage, except
for
the
creepy stalker.
Except for the jazz dance routine, which they're practicing, which is ridiculous and totally dated.
They have to get their address unlisted because she keeps... Look.
It's not as bad as you make it sound.
It's pretty traumatic.
And it is, but it's very realistic. I don't think they go too far over the top. And it's pretty jarring to watch after such a lighthearted series.
Yeah.
To see a very real, in-tone movie. But whatever. It's good.
We've got an email here from Sarah, whose email address has platypus in it. She says, Dear Aaron Sama and Noah Sama. First of all, Sama.
Aw, go ahead.
Isn't that sweet?
Don't know.
First of all, I would like to apologize for my long-winded blathering in this email.
Oh man, it's really long.
I clearly have too much to say, and none of the consecutive paragraphs are connected. Blah. Which means she must have written this email and then gone back and added that in. She says, I really enjoy your Ninja Consultant podcast. It never fails to make me laugh.
Hey.
I've been an anime, manga, video game, etc. fangirl for about 4 years now. I'm 15 and people tease me sometimes because apparently I'm, quote, a geek who thinks she's Japanese. And on top of that, my body type isn't exactly Kate Moss, who's a crack whore anyway. Who's Kate Moss?
Basically, I'm writing to myself from the past. If I were a bigger anime
I see.
In high school. No, anyway.
All right, so it really touched me when you stuck up for all of us yaoi-loving, pocky-wielding, chubby-ish female cosplayers in show number 20A. Arigato. Well, you're welcome.
Hooray.
It means a lot to us to be able to stick up for you.
Represent.
She says, I'm a big fan of a certain manga-style webcomic that was formerly published by Dark Horse and was recently picked up by CMX. It's called Megatokyo by Fred Gallagher. Maybe you could review it in your next Manga Recon episode, Aaron-sama. By the way, I love those. It would really make me happy. You want to jump in there?
Yeah, so Manga Recon takes a really long time to do, and I'm really behind. Actually, I've written columns, I haven't recorded yet. I do plan on having more Manga Recon, but damned if I've had a chance to record one lately. So, soon enough. I've canceled my plans for this weekend. We'll see what happens.
Okay, what plans? Cancel your plans?
Well, I mean, I purposefully didn't make plans for this weekend, except for working on things.
You want to talk about Megatokyo?
Do you? I read the first few strips once, and I can understand why people would like it, but it didn't seem to carry the quality of the storyline that I was looking for in a webcomic, and I was also working at a job where if you read a website too often, they would block it. So I didn't continue. I don't know. I might pick up it in graphic novel form, but really I don't understand what the big deal is.
Yeah, that kind of sums it up.
My understanding, if the AWO had a pretty good position on it, where one of the original creators dropped out a long time ago, and the person who goes to cons now and gets all the fame for it, like, he's really not the guy who came up with it or something like that.
Hmm.
And also, as webcomics go, it's one of those ones where it's really sporadic, where just for weeks at a time, they'll be like, oh, no strip this week, sorry, gotta go to 10,000 cons and talk to screaming fangirls. Megatokyo has a very large presence at every convention that we go to around here. I don't know if it's because they also live around here or whatever, but Fred Gallagher always shows up, and there's always a giant line for his autographs, and the CMX panel at San Diego Comic-Con last year, if you listen to it on the MangaCast recording, it's mostly nobody's there for any CMX titles, including Swan, the best manga ever. Instead, people are there to hear about Megatokyo. And I don't understand, like, the books must not do that well. They've switched publishers, like, 3 times or something.
I have no idea.
Most of what I know about Megatokyo, I know from Anime World Order ranting about how it's really not that great. And from going to conventions.
Well, it never engaged me. I did try and read it. Every time I heard someone talk it up, I would go back and try and read through it. And it just, I didn't find anything to latch
onto. But me and Noah don't really read a lot of webcomics. Like, we have our few that we stick with, and we don't really branch out much.
And those are?
Penny Arcade.
Yep.
Jerk City.
Okay.
Order the Stick.
Yep. Which you probably don't even read.
I fell behind, because the creator broke his wrist and had four
guest scripts. That was for like a week.
Yeah. Well, I used to always read it, because you would always make a reference to it that week.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main reasons I keep on top of Penny Arcade, because if I don't read it, Noah will reference it in an obscure way in every conversation.
Or in a way that's very blatant and not obscure at all.
Well, it's obscure if you haven't read the comic.
Or well,
he doesn't preface his statements with, like, in today's Penny Arcade.
No, because that's obnoxious. Who would do that?
Me.
Who would do that?
Me for, like, 4 years.
I know. But then you found out that's really obnoxious.
Mm.
But that segues nicely into Sarah's next point here. Not Penny Arcade, but Order of the Stick, which is a 3rd edition D&D webcomic. Although, I guess they talk a little bit about D&D in Penny Arcade as well.
Yeah.
She says, Aaron-sama, I think it's just so cool that you play Dungeons & Dragons.
Woohoo!
that she used to play Dungeons & Dragons.
I had to stop to edit this podcast.
She hasn't played in, like, a really long time.
It takes a lot of time to edit this podcast. That's why I dropped out.
I also play, and I think it's really fun. The world needs more kick-ass female D&D players.
Hooray.
I think the world needs more kick-ass D&D players across the board.
Of either gender.
Of either gender, yes. Regarding the scads and scads of yaoi manga that some random publishing house sent you, I'd be thrilled to take them off your hands for you. The problem? I don't think my mom would approve of me receiving strange packages from people she's never heard of. And although she doesn't say it, I guess I would add, yeah, receiving strange packages full of yaoi manga.
That's why you should get a P.O. box.
Angst, angst, woe is me. Yeah, she's 15. I'm not even sure you can get a P.O. box at 15.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
You get them delivered to your friend's house.
Your friend who's what, 16?
I don't know.
But who has a cool mom?
Yeah, you gotta
maybe that's a good idea.
Find your friend with a cool mom.
I don't want to be accused of contributing to the delinquency of a minor, although that's basically what this podcast
Look, a lot
is.
Of that, most of that yaoi is not hardcore at all. The point where a digital manga is starting a new sub-company, like a separate imprint, just to print hardcore stuff, because actually that's what fans want the most, but for legal reasons, they need it, and it's only going to be online. It's called
right.
801 Manga. I'm really looking forward to it. Anyway.
Because you want to read all the hot dudes getting rude?
It turns out that not hardcore yaoi is pretty boring.
It's boring, isn't
yeah,
it?
No, no,
and the hardcore yaoi is what?
And boys love is even more boring. What?
And the hardcore stuff, what is that?
Interesting.
How is that interesting?
Look, it's titillating.
Ah, maybe it's titillating.
It's
but
porn,
I've never
it?
Understood. Yes, but porn is boring.
Well, like, but this has a plot. Like, the brother has a plot, and the other one by the brother author, the two hardcore yaoi titles that I've read.
If it's good, it's good, but it's not good because it's hardcore yaoi.
No, it has a plot, but it's porn
fine.
With a plot. And really,
porn.
As a girl, that's all I ask.
Mm.
Is there an interesting plot? Check. Are the characters in love? Check. And then, is there explicit sex?
Right.
The answer is yes. Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Many young fans, and when I say young, I also mean inexperienced and with a tendency to post such things as OMGI, OMGI, I love Sesshomaru, 1111111111.
I bought I love Sesshomaru 1111.com.
Just to attract all those fangirls?
Just to get hits. It just redirects to our page.
Right. So many young fans have never heard of Otaku no Video. We, the experienced fans, must right this injustice. Consider this a formal request for an OMG, why haven't you seen this yet on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
That's on the list.
All right, yeah, okay.
You should have seen Otaku no Video.
Yeah, Otaku no Video is something that everyone should have seen.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on the show.
It's about your roots.
It's about you.
It's about you.
What's really funny is, like, on AWO when they talk about it, like, Daryl was, like, he watched it, and he was, like, at the beginning he was fandom. He's like, I'll never turn into that.
Whoops.
Oh, that's what he's become.
Whoops.
Oh, yeah. It's so sad. See, I watched it, and I was like, I hope I can be like them one day. And then I am, and I'm like, this is kind of sad.
Yeah.
We're gonna have
not
a,
like
we're gonna,
them.
We're going to have some warning eventually about
they make money
don't watch
doing
anime.
This.
Alright, go.
I appreciate that you make so many references to Hellsing, one of my favorite anime and manga.
Right.
With so many more popular recent anime, such as Naruto, Fullmetal Alchemist, and Fruits Basket, poor old Hellsing often falls by the wayside.
Wow, not at conventions.
Yeah, Hellsing is pretty well represented.
Yeah, there's a really big Hellsing fan base. There are always a bunch of cosplayers, and they had the Hellsing manga at Otakon this year, so the Hellsing fans were out in throngs.
And if I haven't mentioned this yet, like, Hellsing could just be your sort of typical vampire show, where there are vampires and vampire hunters, but I think what adds the wrinkle, what makes it interesting, is the intersectional fight between the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church as to whether or not to use vampires to fight vampires. I think that's super cool. It's a very interesting philosophical conundrum that they deal with relatively well. Also, you don't get to see paladins often fighting vampires, but you should. You really should. Next, she says, being the utter nerd that I am, I know where your name comes from, haha, it's from a six-shot quote from Transformers. He introduces himself as the ninja consultant to the Decepticons, I believe.
Oh yeah, we played that at the beginning of one of our early episodes.
Just who do you think you are? Where are you from? All right, listen up. I'm the ninja consultant for the Decepticons. My name is Six-Shot.
Oh yeah?
Now you know who I am. Look out!
Congratulations.
That's,
listen to our show.
Yeah, thank you for... No. That's... If she knew that without listening to the show at 15, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's pretty obscure.
Yeah.
We didn't see that until we went to a bad anime panel.
Oh yeah.
So we didn't see it.
Apparently that guy and his clip collection are super famous.
Yeah.
A lot of people have seen a lot of things only because of him.
He was a darling.
Like how Count Dracula kills a guy and then he eats a burger.
Yeah, you just wanted to go up and give that man a hug.
He's the sole source of these clips.
Yeah. The sole source of these clips were anime companies in the 70s, I think.
Right, but now. from
right.
people who've seen it.
In the convention circuit. She says, and as a My Little Pony collector, don't think I've let those go unnoticed either. The what? 80s live on.
What?
Got me. Alright, last point, and then I'll leave you alone, I swear. Y'all should check out... This is so weird, considering everything else she said. You should check out I, My, Me, Strawberry Eggs.
Oh no, that sucks.
It may seem a bit perverted and annoying, but it's comedic, romantic, slightly sad, and very touching.
Wait, no.
I think the two of you might enjoy.
No, we've seen some episodes
of it.
Well, not all of it.
We haven't seen all of it.
We've seen a few episodes at conventions here and there, because, like, several times the title fooled me, especially when I first started going to cons, and I spent a lot of time in video rooms in 2002. It was being shown a lot.
Yeah.
And so I was always like, this has a hilarious title. Let's go and check it out. Wait, it's just some pervy show. That's
well, it's... So, it's a little pervy, but mostly I can actually see, like, there are a lot of shows that I can't see how a group of executives sitting around a table could come up with it.
Uh-huh.
Like, the show is either too weird or too good or too typical.
But you're saying things which actually get made, you can't see how CEOs are, like,
greenlight. In anime.
Right.
Many of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see executives greenlighting a show that's a clone of another show that's not very good.
Yeah.
But I can't see them sitting around a table designing a show. This is one where I can see them doing it, like,
it's usually,
here we go.
It's probably based on a manga, isn't it? Most things
know.
Are.
Is it?
I assume so.
I'm not saying that this happened, because I have no idea.
It's like Bosom Buddies, if Tom Hanks cross-dressed as a teacher at a girl's school. No, there are guys who go to that school.
Right, too. Yeah.
And he kind of loved some of the students.
It's like if Tootsie were a high school teacher.
That too.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. Right down to the fact that the woman who this guy is rooming with, who owns the rooming house, she gives him this...
Oh, the voice changer.
Neck choker?
Yeah.
That will change his voice into a female voice? This is contrived, my friends.
Blimey.
And not impressed. Not impressed at all.
Well, it just wasn't that funny.
Nothing,
I'm sure if
really
you watch enough
there.
Of it, you can probably get out of there with some jokes and some touching moments. But after watching maybe 3 to 4 episodes, not in order or from the beginning. I think I did see the first episode at one point.
Well, I know.
But that wasn't necessarily the first episode I watched.
I watched it with you.
Right. Anyway. Yeah. Also, all the characters have really reflective skin for some reason, which doesn't bother me in Plastic Little, but somehow bothers me in I Am I Me Strawberry Eggs.
I didn't notice that.
Because you're not looking at the art.
Not looking at the art.
Right.
So, she says, keep up the totally rocking work.
Woo-hoo.
Cheers. Kuroneko Kurata. First Egokage of the village hidden in the waffles.
Woo-hoo.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
And I love waffles. And you can't get good waffles in Cambridge, Boston.
For some reason.
She says, yeah, I know it's lame to use a Japanese fan name, but I don't want all the listeners to know who I am. Even though I may have already given your name, first name, I apologize for that. Too late.
We go by first names in this show.
P.S. Regarding the audio clip that opens show 16...
There was rather a lot of blood.
Don't worry. Most of the blood was someone else's.
Is the female voice Seras, or possibly Integra from Helsing?
Oh.
I wasn't exactly sure.
It's not a chick, though, isn't it? Kono wa sekai.
Yeah.
この世界には人の運命を司る何らかの超越的な律神の手が存在するのだろうか少なくとも人は自らの意志さえ自由にはできない
That's the one that was the Berserk opening, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure.
Deets.
Deets, because everyone always asks.
Yeah.
We learned the word for world in... Japanese class, now you knew it. I'm like, Sekai!
Sekai!
Kono wa Sekai! In this world. And I know the rest of it. It's about justice and
it's about destiny.
Men and destiny and men not controlling their destinies in this world.
Deets.
Deets.
PPS.
Wadi wadi wa.
Yeah, wadi wadi wa. PPS, I would really appreciate it if you read at least parts of this email on the show. Big puppy dog eyes. It would make one of my fangirl dreams come true.
Hooray.
Being noticed by, some of my idols.
What date was this?
This was
August
20th.
Not too
so
bad.
Not so bad.
Except for by the time this gets posted on September 20th.
If you idolize us, you're in big trouble. I just, like, it's cool. Like, you can listen in, we can have some laughs, but we're just these people.
Well,
yeah.
I was going to say, you can idolize Anime World Order people, but...
Yeah, they actually know what they're talking about. Like, all the time.
But you don't want to turn out like a freak, so it's better off to idolize us. Trust me on this. Alright.
It's better you can look up to us, alright? Because here we are, we're fannish, we're in our late 20s, we're together, we have each other, we're not lonely, we have a nice life.
Yeah.
But as fans, you can be a lot harder core.
Oh, yeah. We can always be harder core.
I don't know. Harder core than Daryl Surratt? Is it possible?
Yeah.
Harder core Sadly, than yes. Carl Horn? Is it possible?
Does he count as a fan anymore?
I don't know.
You should look up to Carl Horn.
Yeah. Carl Horn should be your idol, ideally. As he is all of our idols.
Yeah.
What's his official title over at Dark Horse?
Editor?
Is
or
he
senior
editor?
Editor?
Senior
Chief
editor, something
editor?
Like that. Carl Horn, a fan's fan.
Yeah, a good man.
P-P-P-P-P-P-P-S. It would be really cool if you would add the rest of your previous episodes to the iTunes store. My computer doesn't like downloading them from the site.
Oh, there's this problem where, because when we changed our feed recently, our older episodes are listed under another feed, or no, FeedBurner only archives back so far. So I don't know how to add those episodes back, because we're going through FeedBurner, but I'll try and look into that. Alright, we're back. Wait, give me the letter thing.
Sure.
Hello, Ninja Consultants. The daughter of a senior member of my clan has recently borne the child of a man she was sent to kill from an opposing clan. We suspect demons may be involved and are in a bit of a dilemma of who to kill in what order. Mother, child, father? Not good. Should the boy and father survive, the opposing clan shall have a pissed off ninja demon at their disposal. Father, child, mother seems the best, as should the mother survive with the child, when the child finds out his father was an adulterating demon, he will most likely wipe out both clans. Though we will be well gone by then. Any suggestions would be most greatly appreciated, and the usual payment of demon souls and Pocky, though I am more of a topo man myself, will be on their way. Had you successfully decoded and decompressed hidden message at Weaver like this? Dear Ninja Consultants, if Aaron and Noah be your real names, I'm writing you to tell you about something I have been working on for about half a month, which is OMG, Original Manga Generation, the first amateur English-speaking manga anthology magazine aimed at anyone who wants to make something to do with anime or manga or whatever. Be serious reviews, art, yaoi, fanfiction, etc., with no restrictions other than legal ones, on a content or level of required skill on any area. Anyone interested, please email me at omnutia@hotmail.com. Note, spell that out. For information, submissions, blah blah, inclusion with the September issue, BitTorrent, something, blah blah blah. Anyway, start with the plug, yada yada yada. So I wouldn't really say it's the first magazine of original manga-ish stuff during the original manga generation. Because, like, the Otakon Otazine has original things, and God only knows there's other stuff too. People have tried in the past. But, yes. But that reminds me also of me and Allison's project of the Falling Stars of Manga project, which she doesn't call that, called the Rising Stars of Manga Refugees project, where if you have a submission for Rising Stars of Manga that lost, you can submit it into the Slide Journal community and people will critique it and maybe we'll put together an anthology eventually. We weren't interested in that email at all, so
no,
you have nothing to say
nothing
about
to
the
say.
Demon mother child killing. So this is our one opportunity to give actual ninja consultant advice about a ninja matter. And you're withholding...
I'm gonna turn it down.
I was going to go through a bit of some kind of Otakon thing, where I said a lot of us noticed that there was no real staff presence on Saturday night, and were there fewer staff or whatever. And in actuality, there were more staff, but they just weren't in the convention center there at the other events. So Jim Vowles writes on the Otakon mailing list, "We had fewer gophers, but quite a few more staff, and we doubled the number of paid security guards. We also had more police, both inside and outside. We had staff at the arena and at the Muck concert. A lot of our staff were busy supplementing the door control to keep out the baseball fans. Some were responding to emergencies. Someone thinks you've got half a dozen staff dealing with it. A fair number of things moving behind the scenes, and a goodly chunk was busy with crowd control issues, like folks who decided to throw things off the 200-level balcony and nearly caused a stampede. But even with over 500 folks helping run things, there were probably 18,000 to 20,000 people at the BCC during peak hours. You've got us vastly outnumbered. So, that's why nobody was policing the door at panels on Saturday night."
Yeah, that's understandable.
And Cousin Sue writes, "We had SAFE, that's the convention center stuff. And BCC Public Safety taking over some of the higher profile things like checking badges at the door, while we directed staff efforts elsewhere. So we were there, but we were in the rooms and at workplaces. There were also rumors. Regarding the shirts, because a lot of people were like, the staff just wore black shirts. You couldn't really tell them apart from the 20,000 other people at Oticon wearing black shirts. She says it's not the shirt colors that are going to make a difference. There are enough variations in what otaku wear that no matter what color we choose, there will always be someone dressed in that color. I suggested those banners on staff sticking up on the staffers' backs like in Kurosawa films. Because it's new. And I think that's actually pretty excellent if they all wore flags. Or even like, sometimes people have those flags on their antenna in a car in a parking lot. Like on their car, like they put like a golf ball thing on the end of their car antenna. You can find it again.
Yeah.
Do that with Oticon staff.
That's pretty good.
Made it really easy to find them. Would you like to buy a Ninja Consultant t-shirt? Go to Ninja Consultant. We've got a few left. A lot left. Go to ninjaconsultant.com. And there's a little merchandise button on the left-hand side. And that's where you can purchase one of our few remaining I Survived the Filler Act t-shirts, or indeed Ninja Consultant t-shirts. I accept PayPal or personal checks sent in the mail, or indeed money orders. If you email us at ninjaconsultant@gmail.com, I'll send you any necessary information you would like to get a t-shirt. That's all of the email, though. You said there were 17 left. That was only 3.
I lied.
You're a liar, pants. Updates on the Win a Date with Daryl Surrett contest. Oh, okay, so I'm going to play non-explicit parts of Gerald's voicemail response, and then I will make the explicit part of the response, which is very funny, available as a separate download, because I don't know how to add an explicit tag for just one show in iTunes, and I don't really want to do that anyway. So you can download that as an extra of Gerald ranting, and you should, because it's really funny. But I will add the valuable things that he did have to say, which is mostly telling us to watch Gunbuster and confirming that Swan is totally awesome. But he also says that Princess Tutu is obviously a very girly show. We'll cover that in a show where we talk about ballet, manga, and anime.
Hi, Aaron and Noah. This is Gerald from AWO. I wanted to comment on the date with Daryl thing. Actually, I had done up something a whole lot earlier that was very much longer and a whole lot more dramatic and everything, but it was really, really lame, so I gave it a rest. Anyway, I just want to say that no woman should ever, ever be subjected to the pains of being around Daryl. And that woman on your comments page, this Animiko girl, I know this girl. She is not to be trusted. And she's not a good judge of character. I mean, she's a cosplayer, and she's a PhD student. I mean, she's a cosplayer, and a PhD student. I mean, two of the worst things. Oh, wait, Aaron's a cosplayer. As for what else you were saying, Swan is a really great manga. It is totally prototypical of 70s shoujo manga. It's really, really melodramatic, and just over the top and excellent. Everybody should read it. But on the other hand, Princess Tutu, as far as I can see it, is a total female fantasy. I mean, the characters fight by using the power of ballet. I'm not saying the show isn't good, but it's a pure, total female fantasy in very much the same way that Golgo 13 is the ultimate male fantasy. I mean, come on, every man wants to be Golgo. And really, on to the mech question. I would say, watch Gunbuster. Your commenters on your forum said so, and I agree with them. It's the show that sort of took the original conventions of the giant robot shows, threw them out, put them in a blender, and put them all back together. Yes, it has boobs, big deal. Yes, it invented the boob bounce, big deal. But it also has the biggest fucking robot in the history of anime, and the best ending ever. If that's not your cup of tea, Votoms is the next best place to start. It's the second biggest robot franchise in Japan, and for good reason. It's really dark, really gritty, and really depressing. But it has an excellent story at the same time. I'd also recommend Macross Plus, or Do You Remember Love? And while I'm not the biggest Gundam fan, I'd also recommend the original Gundam trilogy. But avoid the original TV series if you must. There's a ton of other great giant robot shows, but when it comes really right down to it, the giant robot shows are sort of like zombie movies. I mean, I don't really care for the premise of a zombie movie, so I haven't yet really found one that I like, and that may very well be the same for giant robot shows. Trust me, Noah, not liking them makes you normal in this world of anime fandom. Oh, and one last thing, Aaron. You know, if you ever want to be choosing curtains with Clarissa at some point, I'm pretty sure you're going to have to start playing video games. Because, as far as I know, that's all she does when she's not watching anime or oogling over gay guys. And, you know, you wouldn't want it to get to the point where she's while she's playing Xenosaga 3 and trying to explain the finer philosophical points of that game to you. That would be a really bad idea. Oh, and Noah, you, Joel, and I must totally do a one-off show together. We just do not get to talk enough. Thanks, guys, and great podcast.
It's like 12:30, man. We've been at this for 2 hours.
I know. If only we recorded it earlier in the week.
We would have still been recording this late.
I guess so.
God damn it! OMG, I love Sesshomaru.